Hey, good morning, everybody. Man, it's so good to have you with us today at Promised Land. My name is Robin Steele. I'm a senior pastor here, and we are just glad to see each and every one of you. We just had a great 8:30 service, and as Pastor Emilio was just saying, tonight is the move, and on top of their student service that they're having at 5 o'clock, they're also having a candlelight dinner for all of our students. So tonight is a special, special night, and you have to be in that. No, I don't want anybody sneaking in, trying to get a candlelight dinner tonight, okay? Junior high and high school only tonight, 5 o'clock. And also, I want to make sure you know that immediately following this service, if you are new to our church and would like to get connected, one of the things he just talked about was filling out the Connect card. You definitely can do that. But we have what's called Next Steps happening today at 11:30. It's in our Student Center. We have a room over there set up. We have lunch provided for you. If you have kids, we'll take care of your kids as well. And we just get to know you, and you get to know us. You can ask us questions. We can ask you questions. I mean, just kind of, I'll be over there. Some of our other staff will be over there. And it's a great time to learn about Promised Land, learn about membership, learn how to get connected. And a week from today is our big baptism service. So if you have not been baptized yet and you've made the decision to follow after Jesus, then we would love to baptize you next Sunday during our service. It's Super Sunday. Super Bowl is happening, but we like to celebrate before the Super Bowl by baptizing people. So it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a lot of fun, but spiritually super. All right. So if you have questions about baptism, let us know over there at Next Steps. Or there's also there's some tables out here in the foyer, little round tables that have QR codes on them. If you'd like to get baptized or you have questions about baptism, you can scan that code and we'll connect with you. Everybody that's online, hello, online people. Glad to have you joining us today on Facebook or YouTube. We always love our online folks. And I want to say hello to Melissa Garber, and I want to say hello to Marilyn Apple. We love y'all, and we miss you, and we can't wait to see you again. And if maybe you're just scrolling on Facebook, and you're like, what is this? It's Promised Land, and we're glad that you're with us. Come on, give them a hand and welcome them online. Yeah. I want to talk to you about faith today. And I have a text, if you want to go with me in the Bible, if you have a Bible, you want to go with me, John, the 9th chapter. And the title of today is Faith is Not a Formula. Faith is not a formula. We all love a good formula, right? How many know the Pythagorean theorem? Woohoo! Failures. None of y'all know what that is. A squared plus B squared equals C squared, yeah. Did you say C squared? Like, it does. It equals C squared. That's a formula, right? Da, 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 equals this. That's a formula. We love formulas because they're so secure and it's set. So for those of you that were sleeping during that geometry day of A squared plus, that's a right triangle. So this line is A, this line is B, and then this is the hypotenuse, right? This is the line that goes this way. And so if you want to know how long that is, then you square this number and add it to this number squared, and you equal this number. Okay, I've lost many people already, but that's a formula, right? Now, if you're a math person, you really love formulas because it just makes so much sense. I love math, so I'm sure you can tell that already. Just because it's so clear and it's so simple, and you can check your answers immediately and know if it's right or not. You can't do that in science or history or biology or anything like that. You just kind of put something down you don't know. But when it's a formula, bam, it's there. and it's set. And even if you don't like math, we all are comfortable when things are reliable, when they're just like boom, 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 boom. We want life to be a formula, but it's just not. And faith is not a formula. It's just not. I learned something when I came to San Marcos, which I didn't come very far. I grew up in Buda, but I didn't know this in Buda. But when I came to San Marcos, I learned that the culture here has things that are very different. And when you get sick, sometimes you don't go to a doctor, but you go to a curandero or a curandera. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's like a person that cures you, person that helps you. And they have certain things they do to fix you. And it's really interesting. It's a mix of like some Catholic tradition, some mysticism, some strange things. But one of the most popular things that a curandera will do to you is what's called ojo. And if you're sick, y'all know what I'm talking about? They get an egg and they will, I guess, wipe it on you or like rub it on you or something like that. And that's supposed to draw out the sickness into the egg. It's a true story. Still happens to this day, okay? In San Marcos. They will rub this egg on you, and then they crack the egg and open it up, and they see if they have pulled out the spirit or the sickness or whatever by looking at the egg in the bowl. If it's got like the little red mark in it, that means that the egg has been successful in taking out the sickness. Wouldn't it be great if that's how easy it was, right? Just rub an egg on you, boom, it's done. We want that. We want that formulaic type of thing to happen. We want it to be clear and easy and simple, but it's not. All right, let's go to the Bible. John 9, verse 1. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sin or his parents' sin? So you know what they were asking Jesus? They were asking Jesus, what's the formula for his blindness? Why is he blind? We want to know that. Why is he blind? So we want to know a formula for bad things. We want to know a formula for good things. We just want that. That's the way we're geared as humans. We're trying to figure that out. Why is he blind? Was it his sin or his parents? Like his sin plus this sin equals blindness. Or parents' sin and his plus his sin equals blindness. What is it? And here's Jesus' answer. Verse 3. It was not because of his sin or his parents' sin, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. So you know what Jesus is saying right here? He's saying there is no formula. It's not because of his sin. It's not because he did this and this and this. He's blind. It's not because of his. It's not a formula. Instead, it's about God. This person's sin is not the big deal. This person's not the big deal. His parents, even his blindness is not a big deal. Even the miracle is not the big deal. God is the big deal. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's about God. So then in verse 6, Jesus spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. And he told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam meant sent. So the man went and washed, and he came back seeing. So it worked. The miracle worked. So here we are as humans. We're like, okay, well, that's the formula. That's how we fix the blindness is we need to spit in the mud, make a little mud ball, rub it on the person's eyes, and then go wash in this particular pool, the Pool of Siloam. That's the healing pool, and you're going to be healed of blindness. That's what we should do. Well, I'm here to tell you that that doesn't work. And the reason why I know that is because I have been there to that pool, and I prayed for a blind man at that pool, and we rubbed water of the Pool of Siloam in his eyes, and it did not heal him. Y'all don't believe me, do you? Look at this picture. This is a picture of us with Mason Murphy at the Pool of Siloam. That's the Pool of Siloam. You'd have to walk down a big series of steps down on, I think it's the south side of the city, and you get down to this place. You can see the water on the left there. The two men standing behind Mason are my dad and Will Krause, and then there's Mason. He's a member of our church. Probably see him today here at Promised Land. The person that's praying for him right there was our tour guide, great man, believer. And this was a very emotional moment for us. We were all very, just captivated by this moment. We were crying. We were praying. You can tell just by the picture. It was a very special time that we had there. But to be fair, pretty much every single stop that we had in Israel was an emotional time. We were crying at Jesus, you was standing right here, and this is where he did this, and this is where he did that. Anyway, so this was a very, very special time that we had there. But Mason got up, and he was still blind. And so the formula, if there was a formula for it, it didn't work. There's a lot of things about the world that are a formula, right? I mean, you go to work, you do certain things, and certain things are produced. You know, like if you work in a factory or you build houses or maybe even work at school or, whatever you do, there are certain things that you do, and then boom, here's the product of whatever you're doing. That's a systematic thing. It's a formulaic thing, and that's how some things in the world do actually work with a formula. But people don't. And our relationship with God doesn't. It's not a formula. Those of you with kids and maybe empty nesters, we can be able to explain this even better. You can raise two kids in the same household, feed them the same food, send them to the same school, discipline them the same way. They can both play baseball and sports and da-da-da. I mean, you can like bring two kids up in your household the same way, and then when they get out on their own, two completely different people. That's just the way it is. Your house is not a factory. The church is not a factory. We're not just like pumping out disciples, all right? Faith is not a formula. So if it's not a formula, then what is it? I'm glad you asked. This one scripture that I read is where it all hinges. It's really where Jesus recenters it. I wanted to put it back up on the screen. This is John 9, 3 through 5. It says, this happened, the situation happened, so the power of God could be seen in him. So the power of God be seen in the blind man. We must carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I'm the light of the world. So let's look at this passage just for a minute. There's things in this passage that are historical. In other words, they are just for the moment that they're talking about here. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's specifically telling them something. So he's going to die. That's foreshadowed here. There's going to be a darkness, a night that is coming. There's going to be a time when Jesus ascends into heaven. He's not going to be there in person any longer. There's going to be a night coming when those particular disciples are going to be persecuted, and it's going to be really hard for them. Okay, so that is a historical way to look at this. This passage is specifically for them, but there is a very powerful truth in here that we can use today. And that is that this power of God is to be revealed in us. And that's what this is all about. He says, I'm the light of the world. Well, I'm here. I am the light of the world. And we don't get it in this particular set of verses, but if we read, you know, the whole gospel account, we see that when Jesus ascends into heaven, the light of the world doesn't go away, but instead you and I reflect the light of God in us. In whatever situation we are going through ourselves, then we reflect the light of the world to other people. And so this is where this story is recentered. The disciples come into this moment and they're all thinking about the blindness and the sin and this man and this man's parents. Is it the parents? Is it the man? Is it his sin? Is it his blindness? And Jesus says, it's not about any of that. Instead, it's all about me. He recenters their mindset away from the things of this world to God himself. That God is going to be revealed in this situation. And the thing you need to really think about is not a person being healed, but a person being revealed. That person being Jesus. So instead of us focusing our life around issues or problems or how or why, why is this this way? I should not be like this. I grew up in church and why am I facing this? And I give my tithes and why is this happening to me? I'm a good person and what's the formula? That's the wrong mindset. Jesus is saying, if you're gonna get anything out of this, this is what you need to get. It's about Jesus being revealed first, and then this person being healed is just sort of a kickback for that particular person. That's not the point of this. All of the miracles of Jesus are about Jesus being revealed to the world. Every blind man, deaf person, person with leprosy, person with crippled body parts, dead being raised back to life. I mean, all of those are amazing, miraculous things, but none of them, the point of none of them was for those people in particular. They were all to prove to the world who Jesus really was. God knew that in order for Jesus to for the world to understand who Jesus was, he needed to display this type of miraculous power. And so each miracle in the Bible is to simply reveal who Jesus is. And so, you know, we get it twisted every time we see a miracle in the Bible and think that that's the point. And so what can happen is we can be just like those disciples and we get into a situation and we think, man, okay, I gotta open up the Bible and, you know, like the Bible's a pharmacy and like, what's the prescription for depression or what's the, you know, I need that secret scripture in there. Almost like the egg we're gonna rub on ourselves. We can take the Bible and use it as this same mystical thing that if I just say the prayer of Jabez or if I just pray this, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 or whatever it is, the secret. If I have the secret scripture, then I'm going to fix this little part of my life. And if that's the case, we've missed the whole point, which is Jesus. Faith is not a formula. Faith is about a relationship with Jesus. Faith is a friendship, not a formula. That's really what I want you to grab a hold of today, is that it's not something that we can nail, figure out, or anything else, but it's about a relationship with a person, Jesus. Everything is about him. Jesus is the light of the world. We want the world to see him. So when you come into a problem in your life, a difficulty, and I'm preaching to myself, all right? I'm preaching to everybody in here that's got an issue. We should first center ourselves around this idea that Jesus is going to be revealed in this situation in some way. So instead of me saying, Jesus, it's got to be this certain way, it's just, Jesus, I want to get out of the way and let you be revealed in this. And guess what? When Jesus is revealed, he's a good God. He loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He wants you to get pleasure out of him being revealed. That's awesome. Jesus is not a God that when he's revealed, he's going to be like some angry dictator and, you know, hitting you and judging you and destroying your life. And just when he's revealed, it's a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. And we still, Promise Land, are praying for miracles. And we pray for the supernatural to come to pass. And we see that in 2022, there's people that have experienced things that we could not prove medically or figure out with, you know, just common sense or a formula. No, God showed up in a supernatural way and did something big. And he's revealed in that miraculous presentation of his glory. But we also see God revealed like Paul, the apostle, when he had a thorn that was not removed. And Paul's testimony was, in my weakness, Jesus is revealed. In my unanswered prayer, God is going to be revealed. So the question we're asking ourselves, and I really hope you can grasp this out of John 9, is how can I reveal God to the world around me? If this could be our mindset, I believe that we would have so much more peace in our life. Faith is not formulaic, but faith is a friendship. And it's a friendship with a good God. Jesus is a good God. He loves you. And he wants great things for you. I want you to think about it like a dance, okay? A dance with God. That's really what faith is like. Faith is like a dance. And it's not like a square dance. You know, square dance is grab your partner, here we go, turn around, do-si-do, you know. Is square dancing still around? Any square dancers in here? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You got the big dresses and you're doing like, that's all formulaic. That's a guy or a girl up there telling you, you're going to dance like this and you're going to dance like this. You're going to turn. And it's fun. And everybody, you know, no judgment against square dancing, okay? But that's not the kind of dance we're talking about. We're talking about a dance where there's two partners, music, tempo, melody, rhythm is giving you something to sort of attach your movement to, okay? So there is something, you know, giving you some sort of sense of rhythm and melody, but the partners have spontaneity and individuality, and then there's also this chemistry when they come together. And there's just a specialness that's hard to articulate when there's two people dancing. And that's really what this faith journey is all about. You and God in a rhythm together where you're pursuing the miracle maker more than the miracle. That's the dance that we're doing. We're dancing with God and we're pursuing him and we're going for him and we're wanting to be with him. And it's this beautiful thing when it happens, right? There's a curiousness about it. There's a surprise about it. There is a I'm not sure what's going to happen next thing about it as well. Bob Goff, great author, said it like this. Faith isn't an equation or a formula or a business deal that gets you what you want. In short, there's nothing on the other side of the equal sign, just Jesus. Isn't that good? Just Jesus. I'm going to ask the band to come and help us. I want us to go back into that song that we were singing earlier about Nothing Else. I didn't even know they were going to do this song until last night, and I was texting Nate, and we're talking about this moment right here, and he said, we're singing this song. I said, it's perfect. I want nothing else than Jesus. That's the formula is Jesus. That's it. It's a person. The formula is a person, and his name is Jesus. And this may help you understand this. When I say a word, I want you to yell out the opposite of whatever I say, okay? So if I were to say good, bad. If I were to say right or left, okay. Wrong or left, both are the opposite. What if I were to say faith? We're not sure, are we? What's the opposite of faith? I want you to wrap your head around this idea. I heard many things yelled out at me. Thank y'all for doing that. I want you to wrap your head around the idea that the opposite of faith is not doubt, but the opposite of faith is certainty. Certainty. A formula. The opposite of faith is when you don't need God because you've got it figured out and you've got it fixed. It's okay to have some questions when you have faith, because that means I need you, God. I need you and nothing else. I don't know how it's going to happen. Instead of leaning to our own understanding, what that means is leaning on what has always worked for you in the past, you can start to formulate a rhythm of life. But I want to warn some of you, even some of you that have been around for a while in your walk with God, if you think you've got it all figured out and you think you've got it nailed, you're missing the point of the person of Jesus. It's really about a relationship. It's really about a friendship, and not figuring it all out and having it all laid out. And for the people that are in here today, or maybe you're watching online, you're like, man, there's big pieces of my life right now that I have no idea what's gonna happen. And it could really go south. It could really go bad. If you're in that moment, I wanna bring you some peace today. That instead of you trying to figure out everything and gain control of that big gap in your life, instead of that, I want you to just hold on to Jesus. I want you to just pursue Jesus, because I'm telling you, if Jesus is in the moment, if Jesus is with you, he will be revealed in that gap in some way. You're not going to be the first person that he abandoned. This is not going to be the first situation that stumps God. It doesn't intimidate him. He's not upset about it. He's not troubled by it. He's confident, and he's going to show up. Would you stand to your feet right now? We're going to do something today that we haven't done in a while, but I feel like the time is right. And no one has to do anything that they're not comfortable with. But if you're in one of those situations where you're struggling to really wrap your head around it, or you're struggling to know what to do, and maybe it's a blindness of your heart, or a struggle that you're dealing with financially or relationally or with school, I want to encourage you to step out of the seat, come into the aisle, and actually just come up to the front with me today. And we can spread out across the front. And there's nothing magical about an altar call, but I do feel like it is really, really good to physically step out into your newness, your next step, okay? So we're going to sing this song. You guys come on up and we're going to sing this song. As we're singing this song, I want to welcome you to go ahead and come on down. And we're just going to sing. You don't have to say anything to anybody. You don't have to touch anybody, okay? Just come on down in an act of faith. Mason, the man I was talking about that we prayed for at the pool. If you haven't, I can't wait for you to meet him. He's here every week. And you can be around Mason for about a minute and you begin to feel and understand that Jesus is alive and well. The presence of the Lord coming forth from Mason's countenance. He's just an incredible guy, great personality, traveled the world. Literally, he went with us to Israel, has two master's degrees, working on his PhD, works at Texas State, counseling freshmen on their career path. Just a beautiful example of God being revealed to the earth and the cracks and crevices of Mason's broken life. It's just God coming forth. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. What we do here at Promise Land a lot, I'm sure you've seen it today if you're new, is people raising their hands. And there's many different reasons for it, but one of them is it's the international sign of surrender. You know, you go any country in the world and you raise your hands like that, they know what you're giving up. And so we love to do that to God. And just say, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to you. And I want to encourage you right now, if you're in that moment, say, Lord, I give up. Would you just, you don't have to raise them in any certain way. You can do a little short and easy. You can do all the way, whatever you want to do. We give up, Jesus. Would you pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I give you my life. I surrender my heart to you. Take me as I am. Take me, Lord. I need you. I need your forgiveness. Please forgive me, Lord, of my sin. Please help me, Lord, with my past. Please help me with my present and my future, God. I need you, Jesus. I want to pursue you, God. I want this faith to be a relationship and a friendship, Lord, not a religion, not a system of rules or a system of habits or a formula. Instead, Lord, I want this just to be about me and you, God, knowing each other. I give you myself today. And now those hands become a funnel. Lord, fill me. Fill me. Fill my vessel with your Spirit. Come on. Baptize me today in the wonderful, powerful, beautiful name of Jesus. Your Spirit of peace and love and joy and goodness and kindness and gentleness, self-control. Lord, let all those fruit of your beautiful Spirit just be in season in my life. And everybody in here that's ready, willing, and able, and even people watching online right now, God, in the name of Jesus, be in living rooms and dining rooms and hotel rooms and work. Oh, Jesus, we're so thankful for what you're doing here right now. We give you all the honor and the glory for this in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Clap those hands. Yeah.